Now, I must tell you, I wasn't meant to be preaching today. My brother Roger was meant to be preaching today. And you remember, Roger wasn't here on Friday
because he had to go to the hospital.
And he's been in pain. I was surprised to see him coming out to do the announcement. But that's Roger. Roger is a trooper. You can't put Roger down. You know, and so I praise God for people like Roger. Because I see the commitments and it just inspires me. But I'm glad to see you all today. Before the service started, thinking to myself, where are all the people? It seemed very quiet. I said, it's probably 10 of us today. Most people came to the student service this morning. But amen, we're all here. You know? But we resume our series of Acts. And I've been asked to do Acts 21, 22 this morning. I hope you've been enjoying the book of Acts. And it's been inspiring you for the past few months, I think. See, most of the book of Acts talked about Paul's journeys. Paul was a man that really inspires me. His conviction and his love for God cannot be disputed. It has always been Paul's ambition to go to Jerusalem. Although he had traveled around the cities of Asia and cities of Europe, and in the Middle East area, preaching the word of God, because he felt like there was a need for the Jews living in those areas to hear the word of God, because he himself was a Jew. He was a devout Jew. He was a Pharisee, as he spoke about, and he wanted these people, an opportunity for these people, to hear the word of God. The reason why he wanted to go to Jerusalem was because that was where it all started for him. He said he was trained under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, and he was trained to be a Pharisee, trained in the strictest part of Judaism. He knew the law. He knew the law about Judaism. He knew the law about. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew everything that he needed to know. So it was quite a tough situation for him to see people like the Christians coming and preaching something contrary to what they felt Moses taught. It was also, Jerusalem was also the capital, basically, of Judaism. That was where you had the temple. That was where you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were tough guys. And maybe some of them traveled abroad, but that was the hub of everything. And also in Jerusalem, that's where you had most of the church elders, the guys who were with Jesus, probably the apostles, the rest of the apostles, James, the brother of Jesus, and some of Judas, the brothers of Jesus. So they were elders in Jerusalem. So that was where it was happening. He saw Jerusalem as the final curtain call. That was it. So his desire was to go back to Jerusalem. I don't know if you where did you hear the word the final curtain call? Do you remember recently? That was Michael Jackson. Before when he came to the UK to announce his concert, he says, "This is it. This is the final curtain call. This is it. I'm no longer doing any show. This is it. This is it. This is it." That was how he expressed himself. But to Paul was thinking, Jerusalem, that's it. A lot of prophets, a lot of holy people died in Jerusalem. And for him, he thought, man, Jerusalem, that's probably where I'm going to die. That was his drive. The way he spoke to people on his way to Jerusalem was like someone about to die. Let's just go to Acts 20. I'll just read. It says, verse 22, it says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit," he was speaking to the Ephesian churches. He says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come and among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they will never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. That was Paul. He spoke like someone was about to die. That was about to go to the gallery to be executed. He warned them like a father would. He warned them. He spoke like a father to them. You know, today is Father's Day, and it just also brought me memories of my father. I felt the reason why I feel confident is because of my father's impact in my life. And I wouldn't be here today speaking if it wasn't the way my father. I felt my father was a friend. Although if you do not know, if you know African parents, I mean, they don't say I love you. It's very rare. It's not a culture to say I love you. But the action and the participation and the things, the gift and the things that he did that demonstrated to me that my father really cared. I was saddened that I wasn't there when he actually died, but I went to his funeral and I saw him being laid. I brought tears to my eyes, memories when I was a little boy. I would take me, who come to watch me play football. I was good at football, by the way. I tell most of you, but you wouldn't believe me, but it's true. You know, so that memories, and that was, and Paul was like, I'm about to die, but I want to tell you everything I know about Christ. He did not hesitate. And that was what he did. He told them. He says, man, there was an impact. And I was so pleased this morning. I want to wish every father's happy day or Father's Day, whatever they say. You know, this morning I was so pleased. My children, they said, my wife had left that time. I got up. They said, don't come into the kitchen. I said, okay. They said, go. I said, okay, fine. I went upstairs to start looking into my message. And then they brought breakfast. Oh, full English breakfast. I said, wow. And then they gave me a card. I read the card, and it was wonderful. And they gave me this. They said, I must put it on. So I put it on, and I also demonstrate for you. It's huge. They said, I should wear it all day. I said, okay. I will wear it all day. But I'll just hang it here. But also, it's not just that. Listen, look at this. Can you see the lights? You can see the lights now. So that was what they gave me. And guess what? They gave me this also. Wow. They appreciate. They said, work less, play more, enjoy life. They say, I work too hard. I've got to relax a bit. But what I do appreciate that they know that I work hard. And they want me to relax a little bit. That takes a lot of, it takes fasting and prayer, by the way. But I'll put this on later. But that is what it is to be, to have a father. And that's what Paul was like to the Christians. Not just a father, but also a brother. So he spoke to them. He told them everything that he needed to know. And that's what we need to be to one another. We need to speak to to one another with that same intensity. Everything we need to know about life. We need to be like brothers. We need to be like fathers. We need to be like sisters. In Mark 10, Jesus Christ says, anyone who has given up father, mother, for my sake, will not fail to receive 100 times more. In this present age, a father, mother, brothers, and sisters. And after that, eternal life. So we are fathers and mothers to one another. For those who do not have that kind of experience that I have, I want to encourage you. We are all together. You are my father, my brother, my sisters. And same, I am to you. Amen? And so that was Paul. Paul was intense. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. That was his goal. And also, why was he? Why, I just shared with you the reason why, in his mind, probably he needed to go to Jerusalem was some of these things. The hub of Judaism. I need to go there and preach. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I need to go there. And one of the things in Acts 20, you don't have to turn there, verse 16, it says, this is what Paul said. He set apart Paul. He said, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Paul was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. But again, he knew that Jerusalem was going to be a tough place, but he was in a hurry. So he stopped in some of these, while he was stopping in some of these cities, he was chatting with people. He was meeting people. He just didn't stop there. He was meeting people. He was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. Now, what's the day of Pentecost? You remember, it was the day of Pentecost that 3,000 people were baptized when Jesus Christ had left the apostles, and the Holy Spirit came, and they heard the sound of like a rushing wind, and 3,000 were baptized. The day of Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from different parts of the world who were visiting to participate in that festivities. Pentecost happened 50 days after the day of Passover. Passover, you know what the Passover is, the time of Israelites in Egypt, when God's Spirit went through the whole land and saved the Israelites because they had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. So 50 days after that was when it was celebrated. And so Jews come to participate in this feast. And Paul, I believe, in Paul's mind, it's like, what an opportunity to preach to so many of them there in Jerusalem. And so that was the motivation to go to Jerusalem and preach, and not knowing what's going to happen there. In chapter 21, let's start from 21. Let's go up to 21 now. I'll read from verse 1 to 16. It says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, from the people, of course, the Christians, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at whatever, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Say women prophesied in those days. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people who were there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Nason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. You see, in all the cities that he stopped at, he made it a point to spend time with the disciples. See, that was what Paul was like. He says, I want to get together with the disciples. I mean, that's what's happening. These are my brothers. I want to be with them. I remember not too long ago, I went to Nigeria for a short trip, 1 week, and And I said, although I was staying with someone else who wasn't part of the church, but I felt I needed to be with the Christians. I needed to fellowship with them. And it's good to do that. When you go to a city where the Christians are, it's good to fellowship with the Christians. And I did that, and I felt encouraged. They announced, Eugene is visiting. Eugene was one of the planters of the church. And I stood up and they clapped, amen. And they came, they encouraged me, and I encouraged them. And I said, how's it going? And we spoke. People came, they hung out with me. And that was so encouraging. Yesterday, one of the guys that I spent some time with in Nigeria, also visiting London with his wife on a training program. Although I was so tired, because I'm a busy, busy man, I thought to myself, man, I wanted to cancel the appointment. I said to him, I'll come and see you. No, I said, he should come to my house. We'll have a barbecue. Hopefully the weather will be nice. But I was looking at the weather. I thought, no. And I said, no, let me call him. I said, I'll come and see him. I thought he's staying at Putney. Putney's not too far from me. But when he said, I said, send me the text, send me your address. I'll come and see you instead. Hounslow. I said, whoa. My wife and I, we were driving. I said, my goodness. But anyway, it was quite encouraging. We met him. We chatted a few, maybe about an hour, 45 minutes, chatted a bit, encouraged, how's the church, how's life. Apparently, the wife had come here for an operation. Just to get herself checked up. She wasn't feeling well about a few things. But that was quite encouraging. My goal, my plan was, I didn't want to cancel it because I was busy. But I felt I needed to push myself extra. I need to go the extra mile to encourage him. But that made a lot of difference. He was beaming. They were beaming with smiles. They were so pleased. They were so happy. And I'm thinking, that was what Paul was like. And that is what we should be like. That we needed to go out of our way to make each other feel encouraged. Not only in the Christians here, but also the Christians anywhere. Because that was what Paul did. Paul was committed to the Christians. Though the true fact is, he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, but he made the time to spend with Christians. The Christians were like family to him. There was a bond. And I feel bond. You feel bond, a bond with someone you think you are in the same fight together. And they saw Paul as one who was fighting for the Lord. Paul took a lot of punishment, a beating, an imprisonment for the Lord. And that brought friendship. That brought, they were prepared to do anything. Because they knew what Paul was living for. Paul was living for God. And that's what brings us together. That we are united in the same fight. That we're committed to one another. We're not just who we are, not giving anything, just being ourselves. It is very difficult to die for one another. You know, there's somebody I'm prepared to die for. You might not know him, but I saw his life. I saw his commitment to God, his sacrifices made. I said, man, I'm prepared to do anything. I'm prepared to be in battle with this guy because I know he sold out for Jesus. That's the kind of thinking we should be having for one another. Not just coming to church and say, hello, Sunday, and there's nothing in between. We've got to be so close to each other that we're prepared to do anything for each other. These guys, they not only arrive at the place where Paul was, but they came with their children as well. He says, and their wives, they were there with their children. He says, all the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. So Paul had a genuine interest in these people. It was a genuine sacrifice. They shared their lives. Can you imagine? Maybe some of them had not met Paul before. They've heard about Paul's exploits, his flogging, his prison. And they came with their children. They came with their husbands. Not in the city, but outside the city. They had traveled far to meet Paul, to say goodbye. How far are you prepared to go for anyone? Paul did say, he says, The Lord Jesus Christ says, it is blessed to give than to receive. Because Paul gave, he received. Because he received, he gave. In the same way, if we give, we will receive encouragement. But if we don't give, we will not be encouraged. It is blessed to give than to receive. That is the scripture. And that is the challenge to each one of us. Let's give even more to one another. Because that is what it's all about. If not, it becomes a club. I'm sorry, I've used this expression before. It is true. It becomes nothing. It becomes meaningless. It becomes, there will be segregation. There will be class divide. There will be, oh, you have that, so I hang out with you. Or you do this, oh, you are this professional, I hang out with you. But if it is about Christ, then nothing can separate us. He says, when the kingdom is united, nothing can divide them. But when the kingdom is divided, that kingdom would fall. So that was Paul. Paul, these people appreciate Paul, and they went the extra mile. We can achieve this by going outside of our comfort zone. We have to go out of our comfort zone. You know, someone like Roger, I mean, he's not here anymore. I appreciate someone like Roger a lot, and so many of you as well. Roger will go out of his way to go and encourage someone. Would you be able to do that? Would you be prepared to go out of your way to go and encourage someone? Or if someone don't come to encourage you, you'll be upset. But would you be prepared to go out of your way to encourage someone? I wasn't expecting Roger to come tonight because the wife told me that he was in pain today. But he came just to make that announcement, and then he's gone back to probably go and rest. Are you prepared to make that kind of sacrifice because you want to encourage the Christians? See, Paul also was resolute. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. Nothing would stop him. Nothing could deter him from reaching his goal. Even the prophet Agabus. Says Agabus, I don't know if you remember Agabus. Agabus was the one who in Acts 11, he said he predicted there was going to be a famine. So he was well known, well respected. When Agabus comes to you and says, listen, you're going to be in trouble when you get to Jerusalem. Your hands will be bound and you're going to be put in prison. You're going to be flogged. You will take note. You will say, wow, that was a prophet. Maybe God has sent him. I better stay put. But Paul says, no, I have my convictions. I'm going to Jerusalem. Nothing would deter him. Even emotional. People cried. People cried and said, begged him, Paul, please don't go. They cried. I know sometimes if people want to manipulate us or people that are close to us, they cry. Say, please don't do that. You look at the tears and says, you become sentimental and say, okay, what you say is fine. All right, I won't go. But Paul, emotion, nothing. He says, I am going to preach in Jerusalem. And they begged him. Agabus came and did the same thing. But Paul was determined. It is so easy when you're doing the right thing. And I've experienced it. That people that are close to you can try and manipulate you. But if you don't have the convictions of what you do, you will fall. You will compromise. So Paul had this conviction. He said, no, I must go to Jerusalem. I will not be deterred. No emotions can stop me. I know you guys love me, but I'm prepared to die. So he went on. Then he saw Philip. Philip was I don't know. I'm not so sure that he's ever met Philip. Stephen was also among the seven. Philip was also among the seven. Stephen was killed under the direction of Paul. And yet, Philip was prepared to entertain him at home. Because he knew that he's a disciple now. He knew he had changed. He says, man, you are my brother. And he came and he forgot what had happened before. And he welcomed him to his home. See, that's what comrades, people who believe in the same belief. I know I can use the word Al-Qaeda or whatever, but they are for each other. They are misguided, but they are for each other. How much more we, the Christians, who have the truth? We've got to stand with one another. We've got to don't allow the world to come and infiltrate our camp. We've got to identify who's from Satan and who's not from Satan. We've got to ask God for wisdom so that we can make the right decisions. I want to ask you today, what deters you from your goal? What stops you from giving your heart completely to God? I know it is easy for family to affect us, because family, we love our families. And God, rightly so, the Bible talks about we taking care of our families. But when it comes to faith and God, we should not compromise. Is it your job that deters you from giving your heart completely? Do you spend hours doing your work and not coming to church? How do you feel? Do you feel, I'm not going to go hungry, I need to work? Or trust in God, and God will feed you. It's not easy by sight. That is why faith, the word faith comes along. God will take care of you. God is eternal. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day to God. I'm using this to encourage you all. God is eternal. If it's faith, if it's not, if there's no faith, then we will all struggle. But the whole reason about faith is that do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The challenges out there is intense. You hear of rumors here and there. It's very difficult not to think about these things. But that's why we need to encourage one another. Is it education as well? You spend so much time trying to elevate yourself. Study, study, study. But sometimes there's time for everything. When you're 50 or 60, you don't want to keep studying. Hey, what do you want to do? You want to become the chairman of a corporation or what? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's bad to study. But it's, you have to cool down sometimes. Let not affect your devotion to the fellowship. Not just attending church I'm talking about. Your devotion to fellowship, encouraging and building each other up. There's nothing wrong in being ambitious. Yes, of course, can be ambitious. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to work with your two hands. You don't want to depend on people. That's true. But also, you got to seek advice, seek input. What's the best in this situation? Friends can also deter you. If you are closer to people on the outside than people on the inside, you will be influenced. You will be, because your mindset cannot be the same. The light cannot be with darkness. It's a practical thing. It is true. So what we do, we make it our effort. We work it out. We find out that we do not miss us meeting together. You know, these things can be influenced, but Paul was not deterred. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. That was his goal. In verse 17, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God has done among the Gentiles throughout his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. There are 4 men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their hair shaved. Then everybody will know there is no truth in this report about you, but that you yourself are living in the obedience of the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. See, I do not know what Paul was expecting to meet in Jerusalem, the welcoming party, so to speak. But in verse 20, can you imagine the people, the elders coming to tell you, "Hey, welcome, welcome. By the way, thousands of Jews have become believers, and they are zealous for the law. You are in trouble. You are in trouble." I mean, these are the elders. You would probably expect them to say, "Paul, wonderful, it's good to see you. We hear the great report since you've been doing the preaching. praise God, we can go preach the word of God together. We're prepared to die together. Because we know that what you're doing is preaching the word of God. And we are going to stand by you. Welcome, welcome. Yes, yes, yes. Listen, man. Thousands of Jews, they are prepared for you. They are zealous for the law. And they say you are teaching no circumcision. What? No circumcision? You're telling them to get away from Moses. Don't even think about Moses. To the Jew, to a Jew, that is a killer. And then you're faced with such opposition. You'll be quaking with fear. Because you know death has arrived. Al-Qaeda is a piece of cake. Because these guys are, they are raw. They're prepared to die. They're prepared to kill. And that's what Paul heard. Nobody knew how to help him. Even the elders in Jerusalem. Let's just see. Let's give you some advice here. Maybe you can do this. Go and do this. Purify yourself. Go and take these people. Go and pay that. That was just pure advice. You're prepared to take any advice that you can get just to get out of that situation. But I tell you, Paul was expecting the worst. He was prepared to die. Did he take the advice? Yes, he did. You see, Paul was resolute. I'm going to Jerusalem to preach. I'm prepared to die. It doesn't matter. People could give him advice. Don't go. He didn't stop. He says no. He got there and they advised him. Say, okay, if you try to do this thing. I don't think Paul took the second advice because he thought that would work or whatever. But he says, okay, I would do the same thing. He did the advice, but that did not change anything anyway. He took the advice, but that did not change anything. See, advice is good, but sometimes when we're giving advice, we think that's it. If the advice goes wrong, we say, you are the problem. So it's not the person who gives you advice is the problem. If someone gives you advice, it's either you take or you don't take. But also it depends on your relationship with God. Have you taken to God? Have you prayed about it? Have you said, whatever it is, whatever it's advice from this person, advice from that person, it doesn't matter, Lord, just let me do what I need to do and take charge. I will take this man's advice. It might turn out right. I will take, who knows? Only God knows. So we cannot be bitter if things don't all work out when people give us advice. Because it doesn't mean advice is advice. It means nothing. You see, Paul, the advice concerning his relationship with God, he did not mess with it. He went for it. He says, this is my conviction. I'm going to die in Jerusalem. He could say, they said, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, yes, okay. But Lord, I tried, but they said I should not go to Jerusalem, so I will not go. That would be a cop-out. But it's the character of the man, the conviction of the man. And that is what we need to develop. Conviction and character. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. You know, Paul was resolute. In chapter 22, chapter 22 talks about Paul. Paul had the opportunity then to preach the word. Had the opportunity to preach about Jesus. He had the opportunity now to testify to the Jews in Jerusalem. Because that is the hub. That is, those Jews knew him, what he was like before. That was where he was trained under Gamaliel. That was where he went to house and then pick out these Christians with the support of the high priest and the chief priest. That was in Jerusalem. So in his mind, he's thinking, I need to go back. I need to go and tell these people why I have changed. I need to go back and tell them what has happened in my life. Because who is going to tell them? They did not know me. I mean, nobody else was like I was in their presence.
Now they'll probably be asking themselves, why did this man change? One minute he was there persecuting the church, and now he's something else. He's the one proclaiming Jesus. So Paul felt compelled to go and tell these people. I know when I became a Christian, I was so fired up. I says, man, I got to go back and tell my people. Let my people free. Satan, set my people free. But the response you get is not what you anticipate. You think everyone's going to say, wow, great, wonderful. Gee, you found that scripture. Man, I've never seen that before. Amazing. Goodness me, I've been reading the Bible for so long and I didn't realize that was there. But thanks be to God. God's used you. That was what I was expecting. Nobody would talk to me. I don't know if you've experienced that yourself, but that's the way it goes. So Paul felt the urge to go to Jerusalem and show this people why. And that's what he did in Acts 22. He preached the word to them. And I felt that his conscience was clear. Were they convinced? No, they were not convinced. I want to ask you, have you gone back to where you were before? To the friends you were with? Before you became a Christian? I said, man, I want to. I have changed. Don't you want to know why I have changed? You remember I used to do these things with you? Don't you want to know? Have you gone back to do that? Or there's no change in you at all? Or you're the same? Are you the same person? Sometimes I ask myself, genuinely ask myself, am I the same person? If I'm the same person, I won't want to go back to go and tell them. Because it has no power. The reason why Paul was eager to go back, because he was a changed person. So the question is, why have we been changed? What is your testimony? What is my testimony? Testimony. You know testimony? What is your testimony? Are you just religious? Are you just it's supposed to be a Father's Day. I hope I'm not putting a downer on you guys. I'm not. You know, what is your testimony? Are you trying to make it? You know the word, I want to make it. Are you trying to make it in society? Are you a social climber? Do you want to go to Lord Mayor party or something like that? Are you living radically? Are you radical? Do you want to be different from everybody else? Or you want to fit in? You want to fit in with your neighbors and say, hello? Or do you want to be different? Or you want to be cool? Especially the young ones. Yeah, you want to have the Blackberries. Or iPhone 4. There was an article about it was in the papers concerning African in Nigeria. There are people becoming, the middle class is just growing. People are making so much money. And so they spend money on their kids. They give them huge amounts. Money that graduates after leaving school cannot even earn. Kids who have not suffered or done much have this money in abundance. So what's the motivation for life? They end up becoming thieves and they spend and do funny things because they have no value. Money means nothing. But we've got to have a testimony. The question is the old Eugene still alive? Or is the old Eugene dead? I'm tired of all these old stories. I used to climb the tube and preach and Speaker's Corner, bold and smooth, hackled, and says, hey, get down, you African. Where's that drive? Where's that ambition? Come on, guys. Where is that drive? Have we settled for less? Have we, because we have kids now? Yes, I have lovely daughters. Look at them. One is almost, is looking down, probably embarrassed or something. I'm thinking, I don't know. But, hey. What's the testimony? We know the rest of the story.
Paul did not die in Jerusalem. Because it wasn't God's plan. Because actually God said to him, he says, Lord, I replied, this man, this is what Paul says, this man know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and gathering the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So Paul, conscience is clear. He was resolute. He wanted to get to Jerusalem. He did all things. They persuaded him. He says, no, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. He thought he was going to die in Jerusalem. But the Lord, I believe, had other plans. He said, I will send you to the Gentiles. And he was going to preach to kings. And he did, after Jerusalem. To King Agrippa, to Felix, the governor. Went to Rome, stayed in Rome. And the story continued from here. So that was Paul. I hope we're inspired today. And I hope that we have a testimony to tell. I hope we'll be resolute. I hope we'll not allow anything to deter us. Because we have been called to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much.